titles Miss Monaco. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. Titles Miss Monaco. We listened to the story of Princess Grace the other night on video, and it was very charmingly done. And it was, of course, done posthumously with appreciation and recognition of all the good stuff she did. And they threw in a little love affairs here and there, but nothing of any consequence. But what delighted me and amused me and made me wish that all of our students could be in her place, when she married this boy, they were in a 40-minute ceremony, and during that ceremony, she had to sign her name to many different documents because she had some 150 titles. She had 150 titles, each a different title to recognize for whatever it was as a princess. So she had to sign for all these titles. Now, she wore badges and she wore scarves and she wore pendants and she wore all these things that that she had, but of course she couldn't wear them all, and certainly not all at the same time. But so many people in this life are after titles. Well, now, she went right to the top as a movie star, and she was outstanding, and she earned the Oscar. She earned all the accolades that one can get for being a good actress. She acted with the major movie stars of her day, and even some that were in entire retirement came out to act with her, which was quite a compliment to her. And she did all this through the age of 26. She was an outstanding girl. Now, she was born to a family that were nothing special, but the father had built himself up from being a bricklayer, and he decided that he was going to be a big success at it and make bricks. And he had one of the biggest brick-making businesses on the East Coast and became exceedingly wealthy. But this, of course, didn't mean that he was a man of culture or means, except he was. He was a man of culture and means. He was an athlete. His wife was an athlete. He won many records, and many people showed that, you know, they appreciated his name and his work and his wife's work. And so coming out of a family like this, it's not surprising that one girl at least would be a little independent, self-conscious, self-directed. In fact, here she is of her multi-million dollar father in those days, which when a multi-million dollars is a lot of money, and he paid her way through college that she wanted to go and didn't think she'd stay. And then with her first acting jobs, she paid him back right away. She wanted to be totally independent. She received the money and it helped her, but she wanted to show she paid her own way. And then when she was in Monaco, it was most interesting. She was there and really almost missed being with the prince at all. And they both had deadlines that they missed and ended up being together. And she said, "Oh, don't bother." And he said, "Well, I've made arrangements. I've rescheduled everything to be with you." And so she said, "All right." And they became bosom buddies. And the rest is history. Now, she is an amazing girl. She is an amazing girl from the point of view that she had all these titles, all the titles from movie history and everything else. At the age of 26, she could have just had a big, big head, you know. Except for one thing. She absolutely believed in her talent, in her ability, and she believed that her ability could be improved. And after she was on the major screen, on stage in Hollywood, and stage in New York, and in the movies, with some reputable movies, she met, what was the name of the fellow? She met this movie star,
Gary Cooper.
She met Gary Cooper and played opposite him, and played very well. But then she learned a lesson. She's very observant all the time, of course. And as she watched Gary Cooper, she watched his face mimicked all the emotions that he had inside of him. That his face was not just a plaster thing, it was really a mobile thing. And she said, that is true art. And so she went back to New York to her Juilliard School of Music or wherever, acting, whatever it was, and studied under one of the top people in the world to make her face more mobile too, so that she could enter into it as well as being strikingly beautiful and exceedingly excellent as an actress, that she could make her face be in there too so that people really believed her like they did with him. And she did, and she succeeded. And she was put into some very wonderful things. But now, you look at her and you say 150 titles, that's just being the princess. She had more titles than that from before. And from so many things, she won in high school, in college, and in all of her music schools, and then from the art world, and from the Emmy world. She won all these Oscar worlds, she won all these things, and did a beautiful job of it. But none of them went to her head. This is the beautiful thing. At the age of 26, none of them had gone to her head. She was truly Julie Andrews. She was truly a most amazing lady. And we have the tendency to look for titles. We want titles. And nobody knew what titles she had. Nobody knew the titles that she had as an actress. They just knew she was good. Even her people who wanted her, the first fellow who wanted her on his program, he said she just was so outstanding, and she never changed. She just became even more outstanding. To him, she was someone to respect and honor, not worship, but respect and honor for her magnificence as a craftsman. And you see, most of the people in the world are looking for recognition for things they haven't accomplished. They want titles, they want recognition, they want certificates, and they haven't accomplished anything. And that reminds me so much of the one fellow that I met. He was in his 50s, and he was in college when I was in college. And I said, yeah, you enjoy college, don't you? He said, oh, yes, I certainly do. I said, how many times have you graduated? Oh, 5 or 6 times. And I said, when are you going to apply anything that you've learned? He says, oh, I've learned it. I now know it. Now I go into other fields. And I go into other fields. And I go into other. He says, I'm a perpetual student. And I said, I guess you are. Well, he's a perpetual student who all of his life is just into teaching. Is just into being in school and learning how to do all these things, learning how to be taught, learning how to learn, and he'll never do anything with it. He can afford it, and he's enjoying it, and he likes apparently being around the young people too, because he is an excellent student. He's a top student in everything he does, but he just wants to be a student. And, well, I guess if that's what you want to be, you don't get after an artist for being an artist, and you don't get after our Princess Grace for going back and learning when she was at the top of her craft, learning to be even better. And you can see that the years, the 30 years that she lived as Princess of Monaco, were done with great skill. And she also was a hellion. She was a hard person to live with, because she was so one-pointed. She knew what she wanted, and she did what she wanted, and she demanded what she wanted, and made it hell for the prince. Because the prince, too, was one-pointed. And he was no slowpoke. I mean, he wasn't a slowpoke because he's a prince, but he was he wanted to do it his way. And she wanted to do it her way, and so they didn't always see eye to eye. And so he spent more time away from her. And the public thinks, oh, they spent time away from me because he had other interests and things like that. Well, he had other interests. He had interest in doing his own thing. And I don't think any of those interests were have anything to do with sex or anything like that. It was just that he wanted to do his own thing, and she should have been at his bedside and at his chair, footstool, putting on his slippers at night. But she was so dynamic and so powerful and so forceful that to live with her would have been one of the utmost tasks of the most fulfilled God angel that ever could exist. You know, really. You know, you say, oh, she's so wonderful. Oh, she's so wonderful. Well, Princess Diane was the same way. Princess Diane was the same way. She was a master. And once she realized that Prince Edward, Prince Charles, whatever his name was, see, his name doesn't even affect me, but once she realized that Prince Charles was a naughty boy, then she realized that, hey, I got to do this alone. And she did it and was super. And now Prince Charles married, and his wife was very unhappy with him because he was out carousing, and he found another woman. And only temporary, but she says, keep him, you know. So she got rid of him. And isn't that fascinating? Isn't that fascinating? Isn't that fascinating? And yet these two wonderful boys that have come up from that marriage may well be something wonderful. Who's going to carry the title of king? And the young man at Monaco, he'll carry the title of king because the girls would certainly advocate to him, you know. But isn't that wonderful? Titles, titles, titles. Titles, Miss Monaco. My goodness. She's an amazing lady, and she's an amazing being. Now, when are we going to be amazing beings, with or without a title? It reminds me so much of these doctors who go out and become doctors. They study in medicine, they study medicine school, they do everything, they learn everything, they're exquisite, and they go out and practice being a doctor. And they set up their offices, and they're very good. They even get into hospitals, and they're very good. And then somebody comes along and says, but you don't have your MD. You never finished your MD. You never graduated. You never got it. And boom, they're the finest doctors available. They know the subject. They know everything. And they're doing an excellent job. They should be just said, okay, come on now. We're going to give you a degree by but excellent things that you've done, you know, and that you have done well when you were in school, but for whatever reason you didn't stay. But you see, right away they kill him. And yet, that man was more of a doctor than many doctors. And Princess Grace was more of a queen than any queen that has ever lived, you know. But she didn't have a chance. And that's okay. She did a good job. She had a lot of fun, but not ruling. If she had been ruling Monaco, if the old boy had kicked off and she had to be the prince, and take over ruling Monaco, that country would have been an entirely different country. It would have ended up in democratic principles. It would have ended up with everybody paying taxes, you know, and other things that make it wonderful, and it would be a self-sustaining country, not just a country on gambling and other high living, you know. But maybe it's just supposed to be gambling and high living, like a Las Vegas. Maybe that's what it's all about. And then we'll never know, because she didn't stick around to do her part, nor did Princess Diane stick around to do her part. Princess Diane could have stayed around, and Prince Charles could have had a stroke and been incapacitated, and she had to take over as the reigning monarch of the country. You know, why not? That could be, because she is the princess, you know. And why not? Wonderful things happen. I don't mean that he should have a stroke, but I mean wonderful things happen lead us to great opportunities that we don't know. You know. So it is. And he could have abdicated too, in her favor. I don't know that the world would have let her, but so be it. Have a lovely evening, and I know I love you, I love you, I love you, and stuff like that.